Stick around. After the closing jingle, Josh Turner dropped by the studio and kind of hung out, talked about his new 20th anniversary edition of Your Man and a lot more. So, again, that's after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Sounds like Stryper to me.
To hell with the devil.
A little more acceptable so far?
That's better than that stuff last week.
Oh, for real.
So Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days
a
week.
Oh, it's kind of the same.
Yeah. They're no. That's the problem. Yeah. They kick into the vocals and they're kind of garbage.
That's how we get the podcast.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah, I agree. It's neat, I get it.
So I guess AI has one voice, is what we're understanding.
It's screamy.
One voice is heard.
Billy Gilman.
Oh,
thank you.
I would have sang Barry Manilow, but more.
He has a song called One Voice?
Yes, and an album called One Voice. Thank you.
Oh,
thank
I
you
didn't
for
know
playing.
This.
Thank you for playing.
How many songs did y'all come up with that say One Voice?
Billy Gilman.
Billy Gilman. Yeah, the Barry Manilow. Mm-hmm.
Find one.
The Waylon Jennies. Jennies have one called One Voice.
The Waylon Jennies?
Uh huh.
That's a great name.
Kind of cute, like the Iron Maidens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Also, yeah, there's Barry Manilow. Home Free did it. It was featuring Billy Gilman.
Oh.
My goodness, Billy Gilman getting featured. Also, Hosanna. Martin Nystrom.
Hosanna, yes.
Does exactly One Voice. also, the Ruth Moody United States Navy Band.
Who?
The
Ruth
Navy,
Moody?
Ruth Moody United States Band. They did that. And it looks like that is it. And
they named the U.S. Navy Band after someone? What did Ruth Moody do? And I'm not discrediting. I'm saying what amazing thing did Ruth Moody do?
Okay.
To get the band named after.
Thank you.
That's
I appreciate
amazing.
You. No, I appreciate you. That's a good answer. Good question. So Ruth Moody.
Was a Canadian singer?
Is a Canadian singer-songwriter? What the
what?
Heck? What? Maybe that was just, maybe it's not the Ruth Moody. Surely not. I think it's just the way it was put into.
Is it the Canadian Navy?
Yes, oh, maybe that's a thing,
no,
too.
I don't think it's, no, I think it was just the way I read it.
Oh, no, no, no. One Voice composed by Ruth Moody.
And then it says, by Ruth Moody, United States Navy Band. Like, it's all one thing. So it's not the same. It's,
yeah,
it's the way I read it.
Okay.
So everyone settle down, all right? Just
I was like, how? I mean, you have to think, like, somebody has to do something really amazing to do, like, to get a ship named after them or whatever. If you get the band named after you, you got to be pretty great.
You guys following Little League World Series?
No. The only time I ever look at the screen is when you say, are you following? And I turn and I look over 5'1", 82-pound Paxton Smith stepping up
on.
To the plate right
Neat.
Now. And he throws, and he lines up with a bunt, but he takes the pitch, and the pitch is in the dirt, and the catcher's a little lost. He's wondering what's going on. He's like, I don't see a Pokemon here.
Did you hear the guy who, first off, I'm all into it. It's a big day today. There's like a million. They didn't do any games yesterday because of weather, so they put all the games in today. Game one was a walk-off home run.
Now, that was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Yeah, it was nice. So this game's already had a home run. Anyway, did you hear the? I heard you doing the comp play-by-play. Schaefer, did you hear that guy who won the thing for the MLB? I think it was for
Philadelphia,
Phillies?
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible.
Did you hear that, Bubba?
No.
Can you find a Schaefer and send him the link?
Yeah.
Is it the guy who he was just doing one inning or whatever? Yeah. No, he was amazing.
Have you heard it, Carson?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Let's find that.
So
and,
yeah. So it's a con. No, it's a the.
It was a contest.
No, but you paid for it. Oh. You had to bid on it. It's like, what do you call those?
Like an auction?
Yeah.
So he auctioned, had the highest price, and he gets in. Yeah, the guy sounded like an old-timey broadcaster.
So he is not, he used to be in radio.
Oh, is that why he had the
yes.
The,
yeah, but years ago. Now, but that was like 30 years ago. And so now he's like a sales guy. He's like, you know, he doesn't do it for a living. And so he wins the chance to go and play or call one inning of an MLB baseball game. And so the guys are like, all right, we've got whatever his name is.
You'll Ted Stinkelberg.
And he starts up and have you found it yet?
Almost.
And I wanted to hear it because I wanted to make fun of it.
Yeah. Somebody sent it to me and they said, oh, he did a good job. And I didn't realize that that was the guy with the auction or whatever.
Yeah, it's just a dude. It's just a dude coming in and doing it.
And I thought he was like a janitor or something. I didn't know any, I didn't know his story. But he has like the old school radio. Okay. He had the old school radio, you know, sports broadcaster approach.
He jumped right in.
Yeah.
He jumped right in and like was like he had been doing it the entire game.
Man, he shot a shot.
We're headed to the third inning. Phillies on top 2-1, and we're pleased to welcome
this courtesy of
Lewis Kolb from Medford Lakes, New Jersey.
Courtesy of NBC Sports.
Fantastic auction winner. He outbid the competition to spend an inning and do some play-by-play in the booth. And Lewis, welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, Scott. It's a thrill to be here. It's a lifelong dream to be in the Phillies broadcast booth. So here we go. Painter with the first pitch to Ortiz. It's in there for strike one call. Phils with two in the bottom of the second to take the lead. As we start the top of the third now, Painter delivers. It's bounced foul towards the Phillies dugout. And the count 1-1.
I mean,
he's so good.
He sounds so good.
In the first two games of this series.
You would not think.
No, if you guys told me this was some.
This is, yeah, if I said this is
the
Phillies guy.
Yeah,
he's been doing it for
a while.
It's a check swing.
Are they hiring him?
It's a called strike three. He got him.
They need to.
He needs to be a backup. Yeah, and also, what a great story if they did hire him. Thanks for finding that, Schaefer.
Oh, he's so good.
And Lewis, you spent your life as a firefighter, police officer?
Neither of those things. I've been a substitute teacher in recent years for Nita School in Lakerland. There's a pitch that's lined over shortstop.
Switched
a base
right
hit
over.
I know.
For Dylan Cruz,
right.
And he reaches first base safely with a one-out single.
Anyway, such an
could he
awesome
replace Joe Buck?
Why does everyone hate Joe Buck?
I can't stand Joe Buck. Oh, and Collinsworth, I would also out.
I saw
and Collinsworth kid. Oh,
what's
are we
the
doing
quarterback Mendoza was talking about him last night? After the preseason game?
Yeah, he was thanking Joe
and
about
like,
something.
And he's like, hey, he goes, well, what about
Troy?
Troy? And they're like, well, I just know that Joe gets, I don't know, he just needs it. I think because he gets picked on. I just don't know why.
I don't have a problem with anybody.
I don't
really
care for him. I don't appreciate it when he's on my television.
You know
what I don't like?
He's
I don't
smug
like sideline. I don't like sideline reporters who are only hired because they're pretty. And I you know, a lot of people go, I want my sideline reporters pretty. But there's some who are, and I'm not naming names, but there's some who are annoying.
No, I want people who know the game.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't want you there because you're hot. And by the way, men don't have that problem. That's not a problem in football, i.e. Joe Buck. But
wow.
But no, seriously, like, no, there's very smart women out there who know about football who may not have had fillers. Hire them.
Speaking of baseball, this is what I listen to often at home when I'm to my phone, Bubba.
Oh, is this that thing that
dude, I listen, I tell everyone, any baseball fan,
ASMR or whatever.
Yeah, so all right, so this is made so in the summertime there are leagues that college baseball players go and play for, and they stay with the home, they stay with the families in these little small towns, and they play summer ball, and they travel around. There's only, I don't know, Schaefer, I don't know, a dozen teams or so.
Oh, isn't there a movie like a Freddie Prinze movie or something about that?
Yeah, yes.
And
yes.
So they go and they live with the local families, and they play baseball in the summer just because they want to keep up. They don't want to stop.
And they fall in love with the daughters, and then they steal the daughters.
Jessica
from
Biel.
Town.
Yes.
So anyway, one of those is Northwoods Baseball, and it's obviously in the Northwoods. So what they did as a, I guess as just like a promotional thing, they created a baseball sleep radio, and they have probably 50 episodes, and they all start like this.
You're drifting off with WSLP AM. Big Rapids.
WSLP.
Wonder what happened to the Beach Boys.
Ooh.
Oh, wow, you know this. here comes the cool sound. And everything is slowed down. The voices are all pitched down to where it gets you kind of...
The Northwoods Baseball Radio Network presents...
Sounds like Stranger Things.
Baseball.
Sounds like Ross, like who used to be the announcer for Art Bell.
Evergreen Field in Big Rapids, Michigan. It's the Big Rapids Timbers hosting the Baraboo Bombers of Baraboo, Wisconsin.
And then I'll move into. So this is them just doing the play by play. And they don't talk a whole lot because they want it to be white noise.
They want you to sleep.
Yeah.
Dieter Gomez, who walked in the first inning.
Now imagine if you just pulled that down, that's not so loud, and you're just trying to sleep. Dude, I'm telling you, it's better than Dexter.
If it just sounds spooky to me. There's a spooky undercurrent.
Because it's slowed down. It's unnatural.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, it's giving me the uncanny ick.
Yeah.
See, and I critique the person's radio broadcast ability.
Yeah, you got to get it down to a point where you can't quite understand what they're saying. And so you can, I don't know, so that you can get some sleep. I do the same thing. I start listening to it.
I just tell my Alexa to play some brown noise, man. I'm good to go.
Yeah, man. Yeah, works well.
I have a type. Play my brown noise, Alexa.
I have, also would do like, we usually sleep at like, rain sounds, but no thunder and lightning. No of that.
Dude, no, is there nothing better than waking up in the middle of the night when a thunderstorm is going on?
No, it's horrible, because the one we had the other night
woke me up.
It woke me up, and my heart was pounding so fast that my body had gone into flight mode with however that crack of thunder hit.
I was up for 2 hours. Oof. When it happened. And
I woke up like, am I having a heart attack?
Never heard it. Well, it's Northwoods baseball.
Dieter Gomez, I'm too bad.
No, you sound pretty close.
Man, I just opened up this smelling salts that I had, and it's old, so it's a clump of salts. So I don't know how to get it. I wanted a little kick, man. I'm like, yeah, we can get a little hit here on the show.
By the way, if you are going to be traveling to Nashville for a little getaway vacation or some sort of a party or something like that, and you find yourself wanting to go on Broadway and do all that nonsense, just know that if you go to where did Morgan throw the? Was it Jason's?
No, it was Chiefs.
Air Church's Chiefs. Yeah. Chiefs.
Yeah. So if you want to go take a picture of the little monument where it says Morgan, this is where Morgan Wallen threw the chair off this building, and then it says don't try it or something like that. It's gone. They took it down.
They took down the monument?
Yeah. Huh.
Why?
Because they're doing a new. They have a live DJ at Chiefs now on that floor.
Great.
Yeah, and so they're changing up the whole motif and the whole, decorating.
You mean
and,
the whole motif?
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's it.
I love that. That was it.
That is what I
mean. Way to close out the week, Baba.
We're changing the motif around here.
Yeah. And so they took it down, and so they're going to have some.
Take a hit of that, bro.
Oh, okay. Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's real. It's good. It's fresh. I know.
Smells like my socks when I've been doing work outside.
Neato.
Huh?
So why? But the point
Kathy's
is,
Kathy's so lucky.
I was gonna say, though, taking that down is dumb. And I know some people are going, you don't celebrate the negative. Oh, you put that up there, and people are gonna
you don't celebrate criminal activity.
Yeah, I mean, but the point is, people go, like, this is where Bonnie and Clyde were shot. People go to see
those spots.
I mean, granted,
I did go to the Lizzie Borden house.
You went to the exactly. You don't celebrate criminal activity. Exactly.
I didn't celebrate. I was just interested.
You paid money to be there.
Sure did.
Well, they had it up for a long time.
Yeah, they did.
And so it was just. I think they needed the space, and it was going to be in the way. Maybe they'll put it up somewhere else. But
well, it doesn't matter if they put it up somewhere else. That's not where it happened, right?
Yeah, but you mean like
Elvis Presley's house in Tupelo? That's not actually the house.
Didn't they move it?
Well, yeah, it's not the house he grew up in, because the one he grew up in was like falling apart. So there's one down there. They're like, Elvis Presley's house. It's not, though. Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I was in New Jersey.
Sorry,
I went to Sinatra's house, and it's not there.
Yeah.
It's not there. I was in Hoboken, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to Sinatra's place. It was like Frank Sinatra's birth home or whatever. Mm-hmm. I show up, and it's literally a plaque on the wall that says, Frank Sinatra was born here, but not in this building, because the other building is gone. I'm like, well, what's the point?
Well,
a human walked here. I mean, who cares?
No, I
want to see the real.
I was not a fan of. Man, are you throwing mud like confetti?
I am. Right. Shelby K in the house.
What's up, Shelby K? Hope you're listening. Yeah, we've got to get her.
I know.
So
Shelby K is an awesome rap singer, country thing.
Rapper. Yeah,
so fun.
Yeah, you like it. Big fan. Graceland. Boy, I couldn't have been disappointed more.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I enjoyed Graceland. I've been maybe 10 times now.
Oh,
really?
Well, it's like anytime. Okay.
Do you get a pass after your third visit?
So here's what happened. Anytime somebody would come to visit Tennessee, they're all like, oh, we want to go to Graceland. I'm like, well, it's not as convenient as you think. It's 3 hours away, and then it's 3 hours back. So you just make we'll take an overnight. We'll go to Graceland. We'll stay at the Peabody, and we'll let you see the little ducks.
We'll go see the ducks.
And then the next day, you go to Graceland, and then you go home. And I can't tell you how many family members have had us do those things because of, you know, our proximity. It's like, man, I want to go.
It's not. I mean,
no, it's not close at all.
I'm in L.A. and I want to go visit San Diego. It's not that easy to go to the San Diego Zoo. No. It just doesn't make sense.
I don't think I've been to the
Zoo. Like, I have a friend who went to Miami, and they were like, "Yeah, I was in Miami," and we're like, "Oh yeah, I think we're gonna just go to the Keys." I'm like,
"Oh,
okay, Key West from Miami. Depending upon what day you go, you might be 3 to 6 hours.
Wow,
probably closer to six.
Oof."
Man, we flew. We went from Key West to
Sarasota.
Yeah, we had to do some gig there, and so we. I mean, it was a little flight. It wasn't even a short flight.
Jaunt, man. It really is. And if you take the bridge, it's literally, it could be 6 hours. If there's anything that's happened on the bridge, it could be forever. But it's a maybe one of the most beautiful drives in all of the entire continental United States.
No, sir, it's not.
What? Dude, I love
yourself.
Okay, well, here's my island boy thing comes in.
Thing.
I love that drive. I've made it.
It's water on both sides.
But it's beautiful. When
so is Lake Michigan. The same thing.
Very beautiful. You get to the UP.
Is it the most beautiful?
The PCH. No.
PCH is gorgeous. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of great drives. I'm just saying.
The Beartooth Highway in Montana that goes into the east gate of Yellowstone?
Dude, what? The Atchafalaya Spillway?
Not even the top 10.
What?
What are you smoking?
Oh, the Tappan Zee? Go over the Hudson? That is my favorite bridge.
The Lincoln Tunnel?
You guys ever been to Cummins Falls or Cookeville?
Y'all gone and see Rock City?
That was a line. Can't beat that. Kathy just got back from South Dakota.
Oh.
And what was she doing?
She went up to Minnesota, actually, to go see a family. And
she missed. She missed. She went to Minnesota, but she ended up in South Dakota.
Yeah, she went to both.
Oh.
I think you just wrote a song.
Yeah.
It's kind of rhymey.
Anyway, she went to...
Nobody steal it. If you do, I want my piece.
What's the with the presidents or Mount Rushmore?
Rushmore.
Yeah. Have you guys been there?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I've been there. Rushmore? Yeah. I was a little kid.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a haul to get out there.
Yeah.
In the middle of it.
Not worth it?
No. No, it's not.
Also, if it's a foggy day.
Yeah.
You can't see it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like a statue.
Dude, remember we were in Japan for the USO tour, and we were at Mount Fuji. I never saw Mount Fuji.
Never saw it.
Not one time.
Thankfully, that wasn't my only time in Japan.
Yeah. You guys were so funny. You're like, well, we think we're at Mount Fuji.
It was cloudy the entire time.
They tell us we are.
It was, like the rain clouds were so low.
So low. But yeah,
I will always and forever say that is the greatest shower I've ever taken in my life at Marine Corps Camp
your
Fuji.
Skin off.
It was there was so much pressure. It was like if you remember you would go to those water parks when you were a kid and they would have that big bucket of water that would fill and then all of a sudden spill every couple minutes when it filled up. It was like that. It was like having all that amount of water dumped on you, except it was constant.
Oh, wow.
It was unbelievable. Ooh. And the temperature was right. I mean, I'm like, I don't want to leave this place.
That's pretty great.
I don't know if it was because it was freshly coming off the mountain. I have no idea, but it was
perfect. There is something about a great shower. that you do. You just want to sit in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God, I do it all the time.
Remember how tired you were from all the traveling and stuff, and you get in the bed, and you're like almost to a point you're so tired you can't sleep.
Your skin's crawling.
Yeah, and you finally get to sleep, and you feel like you close your eyes, and all of a sudden you hear... And they're getting everyone ready and up for the day. And you're like, wow. I remember opening my window and it was the shades and it was dark.
You didn't go drinking with the guys.
No. y'all went drinking?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, man. That's why
I feel like the two of you called, not you, D, the other one that was here. You, the two of you, like, called me one morning.
And like,
yeah, because we were supposed to be doing breaks for me to load onto the show. And I think at one point you were like, we'll just go get D. They're like, maybe we shouldn't.
I don't know, man. We went out. Good times. Good times.
What was the
God bless the USA?
What was the snake that was in the bottom of the...
Oh, it was, yeah, it was some kind of kind of poisonous snake vodka. But it wasn't vodka. It was sake something or other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was. It was sake, I think.
Yeah, and so there's a dead snake at the bottom of it. And the Marines were like, you got to drink it, man. No. You got to take a hit.
I was like,
listen, man, I will.
And they were all drinking it. And I'm like, no.
Gross.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty. Mm-mm. Golly, those guys are drunk.
Yeah, it's called habushu. It's snake wine. Ugh. It's snake alcohol. Gross. It's a traditional liqueur from Okinawa. And they take a whole venomous habu pit viper, and they put it inside of a bottle of, I hope I say this right, awamori. And they mix it with honey and herbs, and it's a distilled rice spirit.
Yeah, it's just weird to see it, and you just see this.
Gross.
And all the snake in the bottle.
All the Marines were like, I want it, because there's little bits and pieces.
Flakes
off of the snake as it's there. You know, it's like you have like the formaldehyde whenever you're a little kid in biology.
You move it, and it just gets like a little
They're little drinking the flakes, and they're like little flakes of snake flakes in their teeth.
But there's nobody I want better to go over and kill some
exactly
terrorists.
Like those are the guys that should be drinking it. Not me. Mm-hmm. Not I said the fly.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Not I said the fly. I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah.
I definitely get back to. I'm looking at the Little League World Series.
Yeah.
I'm back at it, man.
I'm over here reading more about the habu snake, where they clean it, they gut it sometimes to improve the taste.
Do you know Little League World Series had to put a statement out about they don't want you betting on these kids?
Oh. Why? Like, that's the dumbest thing ever. How do you get? I mean,
no, it's not.
If you want to get people involved,
no, because I'll tell you, this guy we know who's a radio dude, his kid went viral. Because he does something called Trust the Toddler, and he hands her little football helmets.
Oh, yeah.
And she makes the picks every year. And I think every week, actually. And there was one for a playoff game or something that whoever she picked didn't win. And, like, he started getting death threats over it. And that's the thing, is that it's not so much, I mean, I'm not saying the gambling isn't a problem, too. But, like, you know, hey, you gamble, you have fun, whatever. But, like, when you start taking it out on the kids in the game, because I think that could be the fear.
Well, also, you buy the parents. You know, you could buy the parents on it to throw a game
or
whatever.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I just thought more like just protect the kids from what could be unhinged people like, oh, my gosh, you cost me $20.
Listen, I don't need Little League World Series to lose money. I got the WNBA.
I have not watched a WNBA game all year.
Man, it's fun. I really enjoy it.
I can't wait until dudes start playing.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's going to happen. How do you not?
Well, it's not going to happen. What are you talking about?
Whether it's going to be sanctioned or not. Whether it's going to be Enos Kanter or not.
I'll put $100 that no man, biological man,
who ever?
From here on out, because I don't know. There may be some in there I don't know about. So I'm saying from here on out, there's like, what's the guy's name who puts on a wig and says, he's also running for office or whatever. They're not going to play. They're not going to let him get in there, man. They're just not.
Mm.
But I do enjoy, like, Caitlin Clark, man. That's fun. And see these little kids, these little girls who are just idolize all these these women. And
I like Sophie standing on the bar singing Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue. That was fun.
Yeah, man.
That's like when I was a kid, Rebecca Lobo was absolutely one of the top-tier celebrities in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And as a girl, it's like that was nice to see.
Yeah, and listen, just say what you want about Angel Reese. There are people who think she's awesome, and these little girls look up to her.
She's got cool shoes.
And, you know, that's a great, you know, if that, man, it's better than... It's better than the other guys.
That
junk.
Is exactly why I don't think men need to be in women's sports.
Well,
it has
that,
nothing. It has nothing to do. I could care less about anything other than as a dad of daughters. I think it's great, and you have to have these women showing them, hey, we can do some really cool stuff.
No, those girls are good. Now, some of them are garbage, but some of them, but the same thing in the NBA too. But some of them, when they get with their own, like playing, you see, oh, you're great, but you're not so great now. But man, there's she's six. I can't remember Johnson. Last time Johnson, she's like 6'5", and she moves like she is 5'5". And can hit three pointers
like a point guard.
She is, man. She moves so good. She can get rebounds. She can drive the paint. She's really good. And like no one talks about her. Nobody. Everyone talks about Angel Reese and Sophie and Caitlin, and for good reason.
Well, because scandal sells. Anything with any kind of conflict is.
That's why we create these rivalries in every sport. Like, oh, it's going to be the battle of what, the uniforms. Like, these players are going where they're going to be paid the most.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I really hate this team until I get traded to that team next year. They don't care.
That's why I don't buy jerseys with other people, like jerseys like with my favorite player's name on it. I don't care. They're my favorite player, but I'm going to get a jersey with my name on it. I'd rather pay $40 more, have my name on the jersey, because I'm not leaving the team ever. That's my team.
Well, Iowa's beating California. Wow. That's unusual.
So you know what I was doing this morning? On the Googles, on the set lists, to see Garth opened his tour last night in Indianapolis, and it's supposed to be a throwback to 96. He got out the old set, the stage set up from 96.
That drum set?
Is he doing the flying
and all that stuff?
No, that was 94. Okay. So this would have been...
Came out of the piano?
No, I think that's like 91. Okay. He kind of pops up. He does, but there's like the over the drum cage, he gets to climb on it and stuff.
So when he goes in the bank tube?
I don't know, there is a bank tube at some point. But anyway, I looked up the set list because he was like, oh, it's Blame It All on My Roots. We're throwing it back to 96. And I was like, all right, why don't you come at me with a set list? He opened it with the old stuff, and that means you're going to take all my money. Because I've heard that song live exactly once, and it was when I went to see him in 96.
Oh,
so you're in, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to figure out which one you're going to go to?
No, I'm waiting for other cities to get announced. A friend of mine who is also a Disney nut, she's hoping he announces Orlando.
Can you just abbreviate it to Diznut?
No. So she and I have decided that if he does Orlando, we will go together, and then we'll go see Garth, and then we'll do a day in Disney.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it'll be cute. Yeah, so we'll take all the fun pictures. You know Kelly. Kelly, yeah. So me and Kelly can walk around there and do the thing. So, yeah, so I'm waiting to see where he announces next. But
you're going with our Kelly?
No.
Kelly from Cumulus used to work.
Kelly. Okay, yeah, I thought you meant...
Yeah, the other Kelly.
Okay, I get you. Good, that'll be fun.
Oh,
y'all will be
like,
a couple
like,
days.
Oh, I
nuts.
Thought he said R. Kelly, and I was like, I think he's in jail, D.
Do you think I know anything about Kelly?
I was like, I thought you were making an R. Kelly joke, and I was like, I know, I'm not going to go with R.
I've
Kelly.
Heard his name. He's in jail for being bad.
Yep.
My friend Michelle's mom is all into the trial right now. I'm shifting gears because I think this is fantastic.
Which trial?
The one. What trial do you think everybody's talking about right now? 70-something-year-old lady. Do you know what she's talking about? What she's wrapped up and engrossed in? That Tupac trial.
Oh, yeah. I don't know much about it.
Apparently the
they
olds...
They found a guy.
The olds are like completely in on the Tupac trial right now. They're like, they're into it.
Oh, that's funny.
So they know more about Tupac than any of us now.
That's pretty great.
I love it, actually.
That's pretty great.
I think Suge Knight knows more than he's letting on.
What do you know... What the
I don't
thing
know.
Is?
I haven't been following
So they found
any
a guy. They've got a guy who they somehow, after 30 years, have figured out he was there. And it sounds like he's the only one that they found with any connection who's still alive.
Okay.
And it's not that they're that old. I don't think these people died of natural causes of age. And so, yeah, he's on trial. Suge Knight, they do want him to testify, but I think he's already said he won't. That he knows what's happening, but he's not going to talk about it. Okay. So I don't know. And yeah, can so you get Diddy involved?
Dwayne Davis is the guy.
Yeah.
And so they jurors listened to the secret police interview from 2008 between Davis and police in L.A. And he detailed the night of the shooting, admitting that he was in the vehicle and passed the loaded gun to the back seat. And he explicitly named his nephew, Orlando Baby Lane Anderson, as the person who fired the fatal shots.
What's up, Baby Lane?
Baby Lane. So that's kind of what they're saying is like the latest update. So I'm saying if he was there and in the car and he's the guy who passed the gun to the shooter, then now we actually know who the shooter was and this whole thing's done, right? Now what happens? And Suge Knight's in jail for something else? Not this whole thing?
Well, Suge Knight was, he and Tupac were tight. It was Biggie and Diddy that were the, am I right on that? Were the,
yeah,
and is, they were the East Coast, and then Suge and Tupac were West. So no, Suge Knight wasn't in jail for, because he, Tupac was, they were tight. Suge Knight was like assaulted and like dangled the guy, Vanilla Ice, I don't know, over a ledge. And yeah, Suge Knight's not
Dangled Vanilla Ice over a ledge?
According to Vanilla Ice, is behind the music. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He was trying to extort money out of him, I think. I think I've got that story right. It's been a while.
We get our history from pop-up videos.
You're welcome. You're welcome. But yeah, but no, Suge Knight, I don't think, is particularly a law-abiding citizen. So yeah, he's in jail.
So here's what's going on. There's an alleged bounty connection from the testimony that stemmed from the murder investigation on Biggie.
Right.
And this guy, Dupre, testified that Diddy offered $1 million bounty to kill Tupac and Suge Knight. And then Diddy said, no, 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 no.
That's the thing. Everybody said for years that Diddy did it, or he orchestrated it, had something to do with it.
So did Diddy do it? They got a guy who's connected to...
Did he do it?
Did he do it? I don't know. There's so much crazy stuff. I don't know any of this. I'm learning all about it right now with you guys. Thank you for sharing this moment with me.
Might have been an episode of Music's Greatest Mysteries. I don't recall.
Yeah, that's crazy. we got... Dee and I got booted from that because we were too big for the camera.
Stop.
But you did, what, two more seasons after
us?
Yeah,
I did all the seasons, yeah.
Is it done?
Yeah, they haven't done anything in a while.
That's a shame.
But it was Emmy nominated.
It was a really good show.
It's on my resume. Emmy nominated.
Oh, what? Yeah. You get to say that?
I was part of a TV show that was nominated for an Emmy. I'm going to take it.
Dee, did you know we are sitting next to an Emmy nominee?
I don't see why you guys can't take it.
Wait a second. We're nominated.
Yeah.
Would we have been Emmy nominated?
I don't think you're actually on that season, but who cares?
Oh, wow.
But who cares?
Let us have a win for once.
I'm giving you the win. I'm giving it to you.
Yeah, too late.
I mean, they didn't win. The show didn't win.
anything else? I have to roll.
Yeah, you got to roll.
Yeah, you guys to get. No, I will say this for anybody listening to the podcast. Just stick around. We've got Josh Turner coming up right after the closing jingle, which is this thing right here.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Hi, Big D.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Come on.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
All right, we got Josh Turner coming in, dude. Just grab a seat.
Yeah. And bringing in vinyl. Look at this, man. Okay, so I know there's two versions. There's a black version of the vinyl and a turquoise version.
Yeah.
Now, what's the difference? Why the black? Why the turquoise?
why not turquoise?
Because it's pretty.
Well, exactly. I didn't know if like there was some kind of thing like you wanted the black or you wanted the turquoise. Maybe your wife had a say. Maybe your kids had a say.
Well, the turquoise is more expensive, so the black is more readily available. But the turquoise kind of accents the album packaging color scheme.
So. And this is the 20th anniversary limited edition of the Your Man album, which is out now. You can get it. And, of course, it's streaming everywhere. There's extra cuts on it. We'll get into all that. Yep. But the only way to find out which color I have is to open it?
Yeah, you do have to crack it open.
Well, the sticker on the front should say black vinyl or turquoise vinyl.
Well,
the sticker's turquoise.
Oh, this is the black vinyl. It says 180-gram black vinyl.
Oh, turquoise is hard to come by. I don't even have one yet. So
for real?
For real.
I don't know who you need to talk to. Because
do you have a record player?
I do.
An actual one? Is it one of the newer ones or is it a vintage?
Yeah, it's like an actual console.
Yeah. Oh, like the old school ones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. See, Carson was looking for me for a long time. She does estate sales. And so I had her on the hunt for me to find an old console like grandma and grandpa used to have. And that's the way
to
go.
So I got mine through a company called Ren Silva. Ren, like the bird, and it'll play, you know, vinyls, Bluetooth, Sonos, like, you know.
Wow. It outfitted every possible.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Those are nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so they look old, right?
Got lights on the inside.
No.
Oh, they
it
don't?
Looks, it
okay.
looks very modern, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very streamlined and sleek and, it looks, very
old and modern.
Yeah.
Industrial. It's very mid-century modern with a twist, kind of like Josh Turner. He's modern and he's older and he's got the modern and the old and it's the mix of everything. And that's been your story since you came out. I mean, like I still remember, I mean, we're going to go way back to the Opry, your debut.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you came out, you're some kid and they're like, nobody knows who you are. And you sang.
I didn't know who I was.
You didn't know. Well, of course. That's funny thing is you still don't know, probably. But you did Long Black Train and you got a standing ovation. I still remember there was a big to do about it because nobody ever, they don't do that.
No. And, you know, I told this story this morning too that I had, for pretty much my whole career, I had always talked about how it reminded me of what it could have been like for Hank Williams when he got 6 or 7 encores at his Opry debut. Which I just recently learned that actually didn't happen at the Opry for him. That actually happened at one of his last performances at the Louisiana Hayride. And so when he came to the Opry, when he left the Hayride and came to the Opry, because you had to be kind of under contract with those shows back in those days. But because the Opry had so many sponsors and they were on the radio, they had to stay on schedule, you know, pretty strictly. And so they didn't allow encores at the Opry at the time. And so he played Lovesick Blues and the crowd was going bonkers and he comes off stage and they're wanting more. But all he did was he threw his hat out on the stage and they went crazy. And that was the extent of it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Did he get his hat back?
Probably. He's Hank Williams.
Yeah. All right. So this is out now. It is on vinyl. It's streaming. It's everywhere. Is there a CD version or a cassette?
Yeah, there's a CD version.
Are there cassettes?
No cassettes.
My dad's truck still has a cassette player. It's pretty great.
Can't believe how much it turns me on.
Almost legal.
Just to be your man.
Are you going to celebrate with anything, whenever it turns 21? Your Man, the song Your Man by Josh Turner, 20 years old. That album came out 20 years ago, and we're celebrating with Josh here in the studio. Yeah. Are you going to have some kind of big birthday bash?
You never know. I mean, it's crazy, too, because my first child was born that same year, so he's as old as this record.
What?
Yeah. So,
which one means more to you? Who's your favorite kid?
They're both my babies. I don't know. You know.
You got, and it's four boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And are they still performing with the family? Are you guys still doing any of that stuff or what's going on?
Here and there. My oldest is, he's here in town. So he's the most passionate about music at this point. The others will, time will tell. We'll see what the future holds for them, but they're all musically talented.
Is it hard knowing what you know about the business? Because man, it burns hot and then it gets cold and then it burns hot and then it gets cold. It's such a terrible thing. I mean, it's like athletics. You know, if you're a guy who all of a sudden goes into a slump, you know, you can't get it. You know, you're Shohei Ohtani, you're great until you're not. Well, and then all of a sudden you're great again, and it's weird.
Well, one thing that I'm constantly reminded of is back in these days, like I was young and I had like energy through the roof. And so if I had to go through that process now, I don't know if I would make it.
Why are we tired all the time? What yeah. happened to us?
Yeah, so he's got youth and energy on his side. But yeah, there's a reason for that.
What would you tell your son? And obviously you've had conversations, but what would you tell him? Like, what's the biggest thing to watch out for, or what's the biggest thing to do? Like, you just say, hey, stay true to yourself, or what would you tell him?
Oh, we had a big, intense conversation just recently about, because I had been telling him for the last at least year, don't you ever sign anything unless you run it by me. Mm-hmm. And he signed something just recently, and luckily it was innocent. It was nothing big. I let him have it, and he was like, well, it was, you know, in an email or whatever. I'm like, yeah, but digitally means you still signed it. Like, that's the way most people sign anything nowadays. But he was thinking literally like signing it with a pen.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, no.
No, kiddo.
Yeah. If you put your name on it, you're signing it.
Like, I bought a house and I never had to sign anything.
Exactly.
It was all documents that I can own a home. Kiddo, they can take you.
Exactly.
That's crazy. So, I mean, like, when he signed it, I mean, was it something, was it a musical thing or was it like
a
big life change? Okay.
Yeah.
All
and,
right.
You know, there were stipulations and stuff in it, but like I say, it was just short term, low budget, you know, nothing to, you know, get too crazy about, but it was a good lesson learned.
So we've known you for a long time, 20 years with this album, you go to the first stuff, but what's your biggest regret? Like you say, like, I wish I would have taken a little more time to enjoy this, or I wish I wouldn't have done that.
Well, this was something that I don't feel like I could have really avoided, but I did the best I could under the circumstances. But I tell people all the time, you know, just because you're getting into the music business, don't forget about the business part of it, because that was something that nobody prepared me for. All I thought about was getting on a bus and going to sing. And beyond that, nobody ever told me I was going to be my own boss, that I was going to have to be a businessman and make the decisions, and very little of my time was going to be spent singing. But I loved the music so much to where I was able to endure all the you know other stuff that went along with it. But I learned from certain things that happened along the way to pay attention to the numbers, pay attention to the expenses.
The money stuff is stressful, man.
People
don't realize. I mean, when you sign a deal as an artist, especially nowadays with these 360 deals, which is basically an all-encompassing deal, the record company, everybody gets a piece of everything. So you think, oh, they just signed this big contract, but it's not as big whenever the dust settles, it's not. And
well,
you've got to hustle.
And for me, it was like I'd go into my meetings with my business manager and it was like they were speaking a different language. Like I just never, there was so many financial terms that I had never even heard uttered.
Like a P&L?
Oh yeah. Like what was that? Was that a railroad?
yeah, <it's> exactly.
but yeah, there was so much of that stuff where I would go in there and I'd just be glazed over and I'd walk out and have no idea what they just talked about, you know?
Wow.
And so, like I say, over the years and with certain things happening, it was like, well, it's time to educate myself. And so I just started learning, you know, things meant.
I think it's good, like, you know, with at least the one son who at this point seems to be following in your footsteps, I think it's a good thing to have your expertise, because again, that expertise comes from experience, the mistakes and the good stuff that you've done. And he's got something good to lean on. But, you know, if you're out there and you're listening and you're like, what am I going to do? Definitely listen to Josh Turner right now. Not only listen to his music, but listen to what he just said. Music, business, both of them have to be covered.
Well, and I told him too, it could be a legitimate good deal, you know, but that doesn't mean that there's not a better one out there. So if you hold out, you know, you might could have a better deal, because that happened with me with my publishing deal. Like the first deal that was offered to me was for $400 a month. Wow. And for me coming straight out of college, it was like, man, $400 a month to write songs? Are you kidding me? Like I'll take it, you know, but for whatever reason that deal fell through. And the next one that was offered to me, the guy sitting behind a desk, and he's like, and this is Jody Williams, he said, I know it ain't much. He said, but it's $1,500 a month. I said, I'll take it.
What is it, Dolly? I'm paraphrasing, but Dolly said, you're going to get a lot of opportunities. Don't think you have to take the first one.
Yeah, exactly.
Something along those lines. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, sometimes if you miss one, you can't really dwell on that either, because
there'll be another.
Yeah, there will always be another. It might not be the one you thought it was. But, you know, the right one, I believe a lot in the guiding hand, and I think that God's going to point us in the right directions. And, you know, sometimes something might look better initially, but on the back end, it's a total different story.
Well, it's like you say, when you're young and you don't have anything to compare it to, like, you know, you don't have anything to compare it to. Like, it's just like, well, this is the only thing I've ever seen. So it looks pretty good to me.
I think it's wild. You came here to talk about music and we just dove into the other side. But I think it's important for people, and whatever it is, whether you're a carpenter, whether you're the guy who goes and does trees and takes them down, and whatever your thing might be, you know, it's very important to realize that there's always two sides to everything. And there's the passion and there's the business. And you've, especially when they come together and you work for yourself, it's something you have to pay attention to.
And I don't mean for this to sound arrogant, but there's a reason why I'm celebrating all these anniversaries now, because I've figured out how to avoid pitfalls and how to, you know, recover from, you know, setbacks and different things, and learn about the music side and learn how to actually make profit instead of the L part, the liability. You know, so it's that stuff will chew you up and spit you out if you don't look at it. And I had people that were very trustworthy that I was, you know, I was trusting with my business and my money, and they weren't doing anything wrong necessarily, but they weren't exactly doing things the way that I would have wanted them to do. And
well, because it's sometimes people do things to benefit themselves. They go, well, it benefits everybody, but this leans a little more towards me, so I'm going to do this.
Well, and sometimes just being a little more proactive makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
You know, you can sit back and collect checks all day long, but you know, there's more to it than that.
All right, listen up. The new album is amazing. I say the new album, the new re-release, the new celebration 20th anniversary editions of Your Man are out. Josh Turner is our guest. You got him on streaming. You got him on CDs. You got him on vinyl, both black and turquoise.
That's right.
So many different versions. So many different. I mean, whatever your thing is, you're going to be able to get Josh Turner in the flavor you want him. You want to check those out. 20th anniversary of Your Man. Josh, thanks for coming by.
Oh, thank you.
And definitely pick these up. Josh Turner, y'all.